This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina Republican Party is rallying behind Mark Harris in the 9th Congressional District, this despite an ongoing investigation into potential election fraud. Republicans are calling on the State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement to certify the results unless the alleged election irregularities would have changed the outcome. And Governor Roy Cooper threatens to veto a bill over a provision that would change the way election fraud and campaign finance violations are investigated. Jeff DeBeer is WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. He's been following these stories. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi, Frank. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. And also the most eventful. Remember when things used to quiet down around this time of year?
I don't, actually.
Ninth Congressional District. Now, tell us what's the latest and what's going on with that probe.
Yeah, so you mentioned just a moment ago that the state Republican Party released, I believe it was a resolution a couple of days ago, calling on the State Board of Elections, which is at the moment a 9-member board, to produce evidence of what it has found, what has happened, or what it believes to have happened in this questioned 9th congressional race. And the state Republican Party has asked that the board do that here in short order or certify the results. So a little bit of context here. The state board is investigating. There are these irregularities, which, of course, listeners are going to remember, pertaining to absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. And the board had initially said there would be an evidentiary hearing by December 21st, which, of course, is Friday. Earlier this month, just last week, the state board said they're not in a position to do that. And then late Friday, the 14th, last week, they said that the evidentiary hearing will take place on January 11th. Now, of course, the 116th Congress is seated, I believe, on January 3rd. So some Republicans are trying to push the issue here, but it does not appear as though the state board is going to certify these results this year, and certainly not anytime soon in January.
Right. And of course, their point is this is an investigation and you don't want to jump to a conclusion and be in the wrong place, deciding not to certify forever or deciding to certify and send somebody to Congress who shouldn't be there should more a more detailed investigation prove that there was fraud. So I guess that's the position they're in. So tell us about this. Now, who has the power to call for a new election should that event arise?
And I would only add to the last answer that we have heard from some Republicans in recent weeks who have said they would not have certified the results either, some state legislative Republicans. As for who could call for a new race in this, I would just note that the Charlotte Observer, the editorial board, has called for a new race. And there have been a number of lawmakers who have said we're heading in that direction. We need a new race. Now, from the procedural or the functional arms of who can do it, the state board can call for a new race. And it is unclear as to whether or not that would entail a primary. Now, there is, and or the U.S. House can also call for a new race, depending on what is found in the terms of election fraud or irregularities. As a reminder, the general election between Mark Harris, the congressman-elect at this point, and Dan McCready, Harris the Republican, McCready the Democrat, they were separated by just 905 votes. And back in the primary in May, the margin was even closer. It was 828 votes when Harris upset the Republican incumbent Robert Pittenger. So one of the key questions as this moves forward, obviously the biggest one, is there going to be a new election? But after that is, will there be a primary? And right now it seems as though the inertia is pushing toward there would be a primary if there's a special election or a new election here, but it is too early to draw that conclusion.
And clarify this for me, because I did think that the legislature made some move, I thought perhaps passed a bill, but maybe it wasn't that strong, that addressed the question of whether or not there would be a primary should a new election be called.
Yeah, and you're throwing me on the spot, so I hope I have this accurately. It was in, then it was out of the bill, and then eventually it got placed back in the bill. So in the sense that there would be a primary should there be a new election called here. And from the standpoint of some Republicans, they feel that there should be a new primary based on what we know at this point, twofold. One being, if there was any impropriety, if there were any irregularities in that primary last May, and if that could have potentially cost the incumbent Robert Pittenger his seat, well, then you ought to dial it back to even before the primary. And I also think there's some Republicans are a little less outward in saying this publicly, but I think there's a concern that Mark Harris, fair or unfair, is damaged goods at this point. Because of the allegations that have been raised, because of all of this news coverage, they don't feel great about a rematch, so to speak, of just the general election between Harris and McCready.
All right, well, let's move on now. Governor Cooper's veto threat. Tell us about the bill that he is speaking out against and has threatened to veto.
So, like many pieces of legislation you and I have discussed over the years, this has various provisions. In part, it deals with the State Board of Elections and Ethics. And this, of course, is something that the legislature and the Democratic governor have been fighting over for a couple of years. For a long time, about a century, the governor had a 5-member board that mirrored his or her party. The legislature moved to take that power ostensibly away when Roy Cooper was governor-elect, but before he had taken office 2 years ago. This has played out in the courts for the last couple of years, and they've been trying, we are told, to work on a negotiation in behind closed doors on this. They didn't come to an agreement behind closed doors. So what this legislation would do is reset the state board to a 5-member board that Cooper would have authority over. In the past 2 years, there was an eight-member board that was ultimately struck down, and right now there is a 9-member board that's also been ruled unconstitutional, but it was ruled unconstitutional right before the election. So the board that we were just talking about as it relates to the 9th congressional race is still in place, but they've been trying to figure out a remedy for how to fix this problem that the courts have said, you know, is an issue that they have to fix it. So this bill goes back to 2016 and would make a 5-member board of elections, and it would separate the ethics board. Cooper likes all that. And the legislators here say, hey, this is what Cooper wanted. This is what he's been asking for. We've given him what he wanted on this. There is a fourth section of the bill, and what Cooper is taking issue with is a change or some changes that would make allegations of campaign finance fraud, finance violations, and the subsequent investigations, it would make those confidential, whereas presently they're not confidential. And Cooper is saying that that is not a good light to turn off, and that that would make it harder to deal with corruption and find corruption in election and campaign finance. What we've heard from at least one spokesperson for Senator Berger is that this is something Cooper is trying to use as a partisan tool to go after his political adversaries, and they want to limit his ability to do that.
The downside of keeping it secret is that there is a moral hazard then. If you were not to find that there was any corruption, no one would ever know. And no one would ever know what evidence you had and what evidence you threw out. And if we can't get at it, we don't know why that person who was never named was never prosecuted.
Right. And I would add, just tying this back to our conversation about the 9th Congressional a moment ago, irregularities were raised, right? And if you look at the number of reporters on the ground, local television reporters, the work that the Washington Post has done, journalism has had a real significant role in shining a light as to what happened, or what we are getting a better sense of happened in that congressional race, and also bringing in investigators and just elevating the level of transparency.
Right. And again, with this fight over who gets control of the board, we've seen that play out. The Republicans tried to take control of that back and away from the governor. Courts wouldn't let them do it, but I mean, the fact is, if you had partisan control of the board and the board didn't have to tell you that it was investigating someone and you'd never know what they saw, you can understand why some people might want to ask for transparency. On the other hand, you do want to protect people's name and not have it dragged through the mud through allegations that were unfounded. Hopefully they'd be cleared up and they could survive that. But that is a concern, obviously, that you could easily trash somebody's name and then say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. That's part of the Republican argument.
And let me just touch briefly on that bill, where it stands right now. The governor has threatened to veto it, has asked the lawmakers to reconsider in fixing the bill. He wants them to take out that section and send him a fresh piece of legislation. I don't think that's going to happen. He has until Sunday at 11:59 to veto this bill. He has not vetoed it as you and I chat right now, and we expect that he will veto it by the weekend, which would mean lawmakers will come back next week to override that veto.
All right. And they have asked him to be merciful to them, to please veto now and not wait. First of all, why is he waiting? Is there some behind-the-scenes negotiation going on? And what happens if they come back? They can take up anything they want, I guess, huh?
They can take up anything they want if they come back. That is correct, Frank. There are no longer behind-the-scenes negotiations that we are aware of taking place at this point. The governor has outwardly asked them to reconsider and deal with it. That's where things stand right now. I don't think we're going to get any kind of middle ground on this.
And the override of the governor's veto of the voter ID bill is underway. As I understand it, I think the last I saw, the Senate had overridden the governor's veto. Where do we stand with the voter ID bill?
The override on that gubernatorial veto will be in the House this afternoon. It's scheduled for about a 2:30 vote or so. And that was the 25th veto that he has issued in his not quite 2 years in office, the governor. This would be the 20th time a veto was overridden.
That sounds like a lot. That is a lot. How does he rank?
It is a lot. He has vetoed more legislation than any of the previous three governors, Easley, Perdue, and McCrory. And remember that North Carolina was the last state in the United States to get a veto. So we don't have exactly decades upon decades of veto history here.
Well, and 20 of 25 have been overturned. And of course, that veto-proof legislature now, the supermajority, has been cracked in the midterm election. So that sets up a pretty interesting power dynamic for the next 2 years.
It does. They picked up enough seats in the House and in the Senate to effectively end both of them, though it really only matters if you end one. And, you know, the big question around here is consensus or gridlock in 2019. And all I can tell you is that right now we have consensus that pretty much everybody wants to go home.
All right. Jeff DeBerry, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Always a pleasure, Frank.
You can find links to Jeff's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, how culture has become a marker for how we vote. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.